All right, good evening, Flying Squad. Welcome to the first ever edition of Flying MMA Opinions and News that is being broadcast to you live and free on Mixlr.com. And I'm also right now, I'm on Google Hangouts. There are a variety of topics that I'm going to cover today on this show, Flying MMA Opinions and News, more like views, but we'll call it news for right now. I am, of course, Flying Brian, and this podcast is proudly brought to you by Unique Kennels, the official bulldog of MMA, raising affordable and healthy bulldogs for the last 30 years. Look him up on Twitter at UniqueKennels71 and also on Instagram, Instagram.com/UniqueKennels. If you haven't got your daily dose of cute in yet, I would advise you to check out both of those locations. Now, the topics that I'm going to cover today on the show while we are live is I'm going to look back at UFC on Fox 14 that was live and free on Fox from Stockholm, Sweden, the hometown of one half of the main event, Alexander Gustafsson. I will talk about a little bit of controversy that was in that event. I will talk about some old dogs. Within them old dogs, I'm going to talk about Rampage Jackson, Jens Pulver, and Mirko Krokop. I'm going to look forward to UFC 183, and I am also going to talk about one half of that main event, UFC 183, who is Nick Diaz. So from the start here, let's get right into it. We're going to talk about UFC on Fox 14. Now, I'm just going to do a little bit of a rundown of the card to start things off. We're going to look at some of the results from the card. And if you are listening to me live, because I am broadcasting live, I am more than willing to accept your comments, and I will even bring you on the Google Hangout with me, and you can broadcast your voice over the interwebs and be on my podcast. That'd be a whole lot of fun. So again, thank you for joining me here today, and if you notice that my voice sounds a little bit different, I have a pretty severe cold, but I just wanted to do this show this week anyway because I am so excited slash nervous about UFC 183. So now we're going back and looking at UFC on Fox 14. The whole card, well, there weren't that many big names on the card for me. And like I talk about it on my radio show, which is Mixed Martial Rock. It happens on KLPR 91.1 FM from Kearney, Nebraska, every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon Central Standard Time. And I talked about how I was pretty excited about the card, but there wasn't that much, big names on the card to look forward to, but it still turned out okay. In the beginning of the night, Neil Seary gave Chris Beall a pretty not warm welcome to the flyweight division in the UFC. Neil Seary is one heck of a tough Irishman. He defeated Chris Beall by unanimous decision. Chris Beall seemed to tire really early. Next up, I didn't get to watch this fight. I was at work, actually trying to watch the fights on UFC Fight Pass on my phone, which is a lot of fun. Viktor Pestov beat Konstantin Irokin. Moving on, Mirsad Bektik at a catchweight beat Paul Redmond. And Mirsad Bektik, I did not know this. I forgot about it, I guess. He's from Nebraska, which is where I'm from. Right now I'm in the smack dab in the center of Nebraska, broadcasting this to you. And I've watched Mirsad Bektik fight one time in Kearney, Nebraska, which is where I'm from, for the RFA. It was at RFA 5. And a fight broke out in the crowd while Mirsad was fighting. I'm not exactly sure where Mirsad is from. I kind of forgot. Maybe I never knew, so I couldn't forget. But wherever he was from, his fans in the crowd were waving flags from his home country. And then there was a whole bunch of drunk locals. The area that I'm from in Nebraska is kind of, there's a lot of rednecks, country folk, and they get drunk and rowdy sometimes, and they were chanting America when Mirsad was in the cage and it started a fight. It wasn't that cool. It was neat to see that while I was there, a fight happening in the crowd. I was at most of the RFAs that were in Kearney. Actually, I was in all of the RFAs that were in Kearney. I even went to one in Lincoln, and there was a fight that happened in the crowd quite frequently. Anyway, moving on, Merabek Tasmanov beat Anthony Christodoulou, and while I was watching this fight card, there were a lot of people that were talking about how Christodoulou was a can, and he was just there to make Merabek Tazmunov looked good, and well, if he was there for that, he fucking definitely did that for sure. Christodoulou is one hell of a fun last name to say, but I don't think that in the UFC we'll get to say that very many times, because he probably won't stay in the UFC for very long. That was a lightweight fight, but if it was any heavier, you would think that maybe Christodoulou would face CM Punk first. Now, today, and maybe recently times, Dana White said that the first opponent for CM Punk will be no guy off the street. And I had put my name in the hat to face CM Punk. I said, give me $10,000. Let me take 3 months off from work and I will train my ass off and I will fight CM Punk to welcome him to the UFC. And, well, my dreams were crushed because Dana White said that somebody like me is not going to fight him. And while that's fine and probably good for the sport, I sure would like that 10 grand and to take 3 months off from work to just work out. I'm an exercise science major at my local university here in Kearney, Nebraska, and the homework right now is so fucking tough that I hardly have time to work out, so it would be really nice if I could take 3 months off and do nothing but that. Moving on this card, we got Nikita Krylov made really, really quick work of Stanislav Nedkov. Stanislav Nedkov had no sponsors. He barely had anything on his fight banner. I feel kind of bad for the guy. Maybe it's because of the UFC making the move to Reebok and getting rid of some of the sponsors. Maybe that's why. Maybe not. Who the fuck knows? I bet Stanislav does. Maybe we could ask him. Does he speak English? I'm not real sure. I don't speak Russian or whatever language that is. Anyway, let's move on a little bit here. Makwanan Amerikani beat Andy Ogle in what is right now 8 seconds. Amerikani is trying to get that time lessened so that he could be further up on the record in history of a quickest finish in the UFC. I'm not sure who the quickest finish is. I know that one of the top two, I think it was tied for first, was Ryan Jimmo. It was a 6 second knockout of Anthony Perosh. I think I have a call here. Let's see what we got here on the Google Hangouts. Jason. Hey Jason, how's it going?
Oh, dude, it's going well. How are you?
Well, I'm just here talking about UFC on Fox 14.
Well, and to answer your question, it's actually Dwayne Ludwig that holds the record for the quickest knockout in UFC history.
Well, there we go. And Ryan Jimmo versus Anthony Perosh, is that number two?
I think that ranks high up there. I remember there was actually some controversy because I can't remember which fight it was, but they actually had to play them simultaneously at the same time to see which bite got ended the quickest. And Ludwig's knockout over, I'll have to look it up. But, it was like 0.2 seconds fast or something like that. You know, it was like 4.37 seconds, something absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, either way, that's super fucking fast.
Yeah, no shit.
And is Americani going to make any more money if he gets his time lessened? I doubt it, right?
No.
So what does it really matter?
So.
Doesn't matter too much.
No, sir, it doesn't.
Your last name is, what's your last name?
Shilkey.
Shilkey, okay. I was looking at it, but I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Nah, I've been used to it. Even mispronounced it my graduation, so. Nothing new.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best, you know? I don't want to be over here like Mike Goldberg and pronounce this shit all funny.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be as bad as Goldie. I mean, you'd have to put a lot of work and effort into that, man.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
So, what else were your takes on UFC on Fox 14?
Well, I was going to work my way to the main event and talk about the headbutt that happened, but on my way there, I was going to talk about how Joe Rogan was really upset with some of the stoppages. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I was actually doing some coverage for our other website, but I was keeping an eye on Twitter about all the fights and everything. And from what I saw, Joe Rogan was screaming, you know, a bunch of early stoppages. I know the one that stood out was the Dan Henderson. Oh, geez, who'd he fight?
Gegard the Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, Musasi, duh. Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of people flaming Joe Rogan, I guess, on the broadcast. He was crying that was an early stoppage and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, he did a lot of crying, a whole bunch of crying.
Well, it's Joe Rogan, man. I mean, he's obviously biased towards certain fighters. And then, you know, he's like set in his own ways. You know, if it's not how Joe Rogan likes it, it's bullshit. It doesn't matter. No matter what happens, no one's ever opinion. You know, I mean, both him and Goldberg both have their, I hate to say agenda, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a lot of stoppages that Joe thought was early, like the Americani one he thought was early, and also the Dan Henderson versus Gegard one. But when he was whining that Henderson was stopped early, in the cage afterward, he was asking Dan what he thought about the stoppage, and Dan said he didn't fucking remember. So if the guy doesn't remember, obviously it wasn't an early stoppage.
You know, I mean, I've been following this sport a long time. I thought I was an amateur. I was a judge for a while here in Missouri. And I'd rather see a fight get stopped early than to have it stopped too late, because you know, these guys, they need to have a life after fighting. You know, there's no point, you know, if someone's clearly not with it, they're, you know, they show signs of not defending themselves, they show signs of going limp like Kendo did, there's no point in making them take more punishment. I mean, these guys got families, they got all this other stuff to look after, you know, and it just, it kills me when people scream early stoppage, whenever the refs, you know, their job, or, yeah, the referee's job is to look after the best intentions of the fighter, you know, to care for the fighter. That's their number one job inside the cage or the ring or wherever the contest may be taking place at. And so, anytime someone starts screaming early stoppage, you know, I just say, yeah, all I gotta say to him is, have you ever been in there and had to make a split second decision like that?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, well, like World Series of Fighting a couple weeks ago, a guy made $800.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that he missed weight, and so he had to give up some of his purse or whatever. But even the top-tier guys aren't getting paid gaggles of dough to get out there and get their brain hurt. So, yeah, I'd like to see them err on the side of caution.
Exactly. I mean, these guys, you know, fighting's not going to last forever. Obviously, you know, 95% of these guys aren't making enough money to where they can just retire after a fighting career. And so they need to have something left so that they can pursue other interests once they're, you know, no longer physically able to compete at the level necessary to make the money.
I fully agree with that. While I have you on the show here today,
yeah,
why don't you tell me some about you? You talked about how you were an amateur fighter, and I know that you're part of the MMA Corner. Are you the head guy at the MMA Corner?
Actually, I've kind of taken a step down at the MMA Corner because we started up another website that I'm senior editor. Looking over some video game esports website, and so I've been kind of taken over that. Actually, as far as fighting goes, I started off learning Kenpo, and then after I saw Royce Gracie at UFC 3, that's whenever I started to learn, you know, mix jiu-jitsu into the wrestling I've been doing since I was a kid. And my first couple fights they were actually, you know, bare knuckle fights like back in the day, except for we implemented a rule where you could punch the other dude in the nuts.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the only extra rule.
The only rule.
Yeah, I mean, besides, you know, no biting, no eye gouging, all that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, back when I was young and dumb, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I got knocked out once, have a couple scars from that one fight. One right above my eyebrow, one on my chin. But it was a really good experience. I actually at one point in time aspired to go pro, but I was in a car accident and I broke a rib head and the fusion didn't go well. And so that kind of put a nix to all that stuff, but it gave me the opportunity to explore other things like journalism and judging and, you know, being involved in other aspects of the sport, which is still really awesome without getting my, you know, brain speed in.
Yeah, that sounds like a way better idea to me. You said that you had a lot of fun doing that bare-knuckle fighting?
Yeah. I mean, of course, well, when you're a young kid, we all do, when we were younger, we all did stupid stuff, and I just like the competition. I've always been a competitive person by nature. Even when it was fighting, wrestling, baseball, or hell, even video games, that's my new competitive thing because I'm getting too old and decrepit to do anything physical. But yeah, it was because in my way, my eyes, fighting is like the ultimate sport. I hate to say it like that, but because you have nobody else to depend on but yourself, you are reliant on the outcome of, whether you're going to get the loss or the win. You can't scream like, oh, the point guard missed the shot that caused us the game, or you let the ball go in between your legs, or you don't have those excuses like you have in other sports, or that you could have in other sports. Point the finger at the teammate. If you get knocked out, it was your fault for not defending yourself. If you got submitted, it's your fault for not knowing the ground game well enough to keep yourself out of that submission. And so, and that's what really, intrigued me and brought me into fighting.
Everything you said right there is why MMA is my favorite sport.
Absolutely, man. I am right there with you.
Mean, of course, I have favorite sports teams, and then, your favorite sports team loses, and you blame it on, oh, the long snapper had a shitbox move, or this guy did that, the refs did this. And in MMA, there's still the ref factor sometimes, of course, and judges, but for the most part, it's just one-on-one. You can't blame anybody else.
No, you can't. And don't get me started on judging, man. That'll lead to a huge rant.
Oh, I was just, that's where I was going to go next. You said that you went to judging, which I'm sure was a little more fun than actually getting your face punched in because you're right there on the action. But then were you ever, part of a controversial decision?
Yes, actually, in my second assignment, I had people throwing shit at me, and that is no joke. It was a kickboxing event that was sanctioned by the organizing body that I was licensed through, and they needed a last-minute referee, and they gave me a call, and so I went to the event, and I think it's the third fight of the night. It was a female fight, and I scored it even. Because there was one specific part in the second round where one fighter, just because of my vantage point, one fighter had their back to me against the ropes, and the other fighter was facing towards me. And it looked like the fighter that was facing towards me was teeing off on the fighter that had her back against the ropes. And I guess that wasn't the case because that was just the round on my scorecard that differed from the rounds on the other two judges' scorecards. And of course, they announced the decision, and I mean, granted, the right fighter won, so it was a majority decision. But yeah, people that were there, because it was a hometown type deal, it was in Springfield, Missouri, Springfield crowd, hometown fighter. People got legit pissed about me scoring the fight even and started throwing shit at me. I'm like, this is some bullshit, man. I scored how I see it. They had a different vantage point than I had. They could see it a lot better. The only thing I can judge it on is by what I see.
Yeah, be honest in your assessment of it. That's all you can do.
Yeah, man. There's nothing else you can do. And so, I've been on the end of being criticized as a judge. And so when it comes to judging, I think that I can be, a little more critical because I have been in that position before. I've had people be pissed at me because of a decision. But that was the only time anything ever went really bad because I'm sure you've been to a lot of amateur events and, 9 out of 10 fights will end by some sort of stoppage.
Yeah.
So if you're a judge, you're basically just sitting there watching some fights, and as soon as someone gets knocked out or something, you just rip up the scorecard and throw it away and put the new one in front of you.
Actually, I've only ever been to, I think, I want to say five fight cards in my life. Yeah, and they were all five RFA events.
Oh, those are good cards, though. RFA puts on a really good show. I like that promotion a lot.
Yeah, RFA 2. I was on floor seats. I actually ended up sitting at a table for the main event because some people left their table and left their pizza there. And I'm like, I'm gonna fucking eat that pizza. And that main event was Gilbert Yivel versus Houston Alexander.
Oh man, that'd be an awesome fight.
It was pretty fun, except like You know, everyone was going for Houston because he's from Nebraska, and then he got knocked out in the second and went real quiet.
Yeah, which Houston's an awesome guy. I've had the pleasure of talking to him before. You know, he's a single dad raising 7 kids.
What?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I had no idea until the first time I talked to him, you know, and I had a lot of respect for him beforehand, but as a single father myself raising 2 kids, I know how tough it is, much less trying to raise 7. That's just, he will always be, you know, have a fan in me, regardless if he wins or loses, because he takes care of his shit outside the ring more than most men would ever do.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to talk to, I didn't get to talk to him because I had a cold at that time too, but him and Virgil Zwicker at Bellator 129 in Council Bluffs, right. Talked to them both, and they seemed like really humble guys, really, personable.
Yeah, Virgil's actually a super awesome guy. Before we stopped our last podcast that aired for almost 2 years, he was one of our last guests. Him and Ron Iacobetti were both on at the same time. And Virgil, he has a wealth of knowledge of the fight game. I mean, he may not be as well known as other fighters, but he is a Strikeforce veteran. If I remember correctly, signed with Bellator. And he really knows the stuff. Really articulate guy, very nice, very personable. I have nothing but, you know, good things to ever say about Virgil.
Did you know that he's also originally from Nebraska?
That I did not know.
Yeah, I found that out the night I talked to him, so that's pretty cool. Gotta love those Nebraska boys.
Oh, hell yeah, man. You have some studs coming out of there, especially in wrestling, man.
Yeah, that'd be nice if Jordan Burroughs would step in the cage, huh?
Oh, Jesus. you know he could probably, if he were to ever want to compete in MMA, he could just walk in and probably be one of the highest paid fighters in the history of the sport.
Yeah, but he said that it's too brutal. He said he'll never do it. He'll never fight.
Well, I don't blame him. He could probably make really good money going around, because I know they have professional traditional wrestling, because that's what Dan Severn did before he went into UFC 5. Which, quick story about Dan Severn. He was telling me about these international wrestling competitions. I've talked to Dan a couple times, and he's told me some pretty weird, scary shit. But this one's actually kind of funny. He was in a tournament in Iran. And in his first match, his opponent grabbed him by his hair, headbutted him, and broke his nose. And Dan got penalized 2 points for stalling.
Holy shit.
yeah, that's exactly what I said.
That's some bias right there.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, you were talking about events. Outside of being credentialed, going to events, and a couple of amateur shows here in the area, the only event I ever got to go to was Pride 33 in Vegas, which was so awesome because I got to get 4 tickets, and I was it 5 or 6 rows behind Chuck Norris.
Did you get his autograph?
No.
Who was on that fight card?
It was mained up by Dan Henderson versus Vanderlei Silva.
Oh, badass.
Yeah, before the weigh-ins, I got to meet Vanderlei and I got to meet Shogun. They were all there. They were really cool guys. Met Mark Coleman. Herb Dean was there. And, I got to meet a bunch of guys at the weigh-ins at Caesars and then went and saw the fights. And Takanori Gomi cost me my 3-fight parlay thanks to that home opponent by Nick Diaz.
Oh, that was that card, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that during that Gomi Diaz fight, I have never in every event I've been to, whether credentialed, amateur fight, whatever, I had never felt like such an intense feeling in my life. Just the whole crowd at the Thomas and Mack, everyone standing, screaming, because I'm sure you've seen that fight. Now it's just a crazy fight, crazy good fight. And just being there live to witness it is probably one of the best experiences of my life, because we can talk about how awesome that fight was, but I mean, there was just something surreal about actually seeing it happen. It was incredible.
You're one lucky son of a bitch. We have 34 minutes left. I'm doing a live broadcast on Mixlr. I'm going to load it up to flyingmma.com and also Podomatic a little later, but we should get into some of the topics I have lined up here. I have an old dog's. There was one of my Twitter followers, I think it's the Ultimate Rider, gave me an idea. Well, he has an idea that the UFC should have a division that's just for old dogs, and they should not test them, and it'll be for guys like Mirko Krokop and probably Shogun, probably Vanderlei Silva, Dan Henderson. And he says that we should never test them for steroids, and they should only fight other legends. What do you feel about that?
I think that's the stupidest goddamn idea I've ever heard of.
Let's just think about this for a second, okay? And break it down logically. Fighters like Dan Henderson, Shogun, Coleman, you know, Mark Coleman, Ken Shamrock, Vanderlei Silva, they have suffered some really traumatic damage over their careers. I mean, these guys are, said legends. These guys have been in brutal wars. They've been knocked out. You know, they've all been hurt really bad. Why would we want to take these guys, let them do whatever they want to do to their bodies, regardless of what that means, and put them in a cage and let them beat the shit out of each other?
That is a very, very good point.
Because there's nothing positive that could come of that, except for, you know, our own, for our
sick pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think about it, man?
Well, I wrote, when I first started doing this whole Flying Brian thing, I wrote a blog about this very idea where my idea was that these guys, I want them to retire. I want Anderson Silva to retire. I want Dan Henderson to retire. They've taken too much damage. I don't like to see them lose because it's not all because of their ability, but it's because of they have no chin. They've taken too much brain damage, but they refuse to quit. And I thought if they refuse to quit, let's just have them face each other. But my idea was not to juice them up. That'd be like putting a 350 on a wagon, you know, like an old rickety wagon. That fucker's gonna break itself.
No shit, man. That's what I'm saying. And then also, just a real quick point. Did you follow Pride a lot back in the day?
I actually never watched Pride Live. I was too young, kind of.
Oh, well, okay, so I'm showing my age a little bit. But in the last open weight Grand Prix they had, in the semifinals, it was Krokop versus Vanderlei Silva. And up until that point, Vanderlei Silva had not been knocked out since his fight against Vitor Belfort at Ultimate Brazil. And Vanderlei got completely waxed, iced, by a left high kick from Krokop. And after that fight is when Vanderlei started to get knocked out over and over and over again. I mean, you saw him, he got knocked out at Pride 33 by Dan Henderson. He was knocked out by Rampage. And I know there's at least a couple more times he was knocked out in the UFC, and I just can't think of them off the top of my head, but...
Chris Leben?
Yes, thank you. And that is just one example of one of these old-school fighters that they take that, they have that one knockout, and they just become more susceptible to concussions throughout the rest of their career. And so, once you know that about a fighter, why would you want to see him even take the chance of it?
I agree. There's something I say on the podcast. I probably said it on, 75% of my podcast, is that a fighter's chin, if I could put it on a graph, a line graph, their proverbial chin, which is a measurement of how much damage they can take to the head without their lights shutting off, it starts high and to the left at really good 100%, and each punch they take and each fight they have and every time they get knocked out, it goes down. And, you know, of course, a knockout makes it drop faster. You got a steeper slope.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And you know, I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but that is part of the reason why I picked Nick Diaz to win on Saturday. Because Silva's coming off, I mean, he got starched by Weidman, one punch, done. In the rematch, in the first round, he was hurt multiple times in that first round.
Yes.
I think it would have been inevitable that Silva would have got knocked out had the fight not ended how it had. And even though Nick Diaz doesn't have that one-punch knockout power, unless Silva takes him to the ground, he's going to be able to, you know, tag Silva with some good shots
which could eventually lead to a TKO. And so that's the reason why I picked Diaz, is because after seeing, you know, his two fights with Weidman, I'm curious how that's going to affect him coming into this fight, especially being out of the cage for so long and suffering his real first true brutal knockout of his career at 30, and now he's 37 years old.
Andy, I thought he was 39, but either way, yeah, he's old as fuck.
He's pushing 40 either way.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pick Nate Diaz. Obviously, Anderson's my favorite fighter, but I agree on his proverbial chin is fucking gone. Like you said, in the first round against Chris Weidman in the second fight, Chris dropped him with a short left hook. Just a real short one. And maybe it was a right hook. I'm pretty sure it was from a clinch, and it was just a short hook, and it did hit him behind the ear, which would shut a lot of lights off. But Anderson's lights went out with one punch, and I just want the guy to quit.
I'm right there with you, man. It's, you know, I've always been, I think, you know, I've already said this, I've always been a big advocate of fighter safety, and I wish that commissions would take more steps to protect fighters, make them undergo some serious medical exams, especially after suffering brutal concussions like the one Silva suffered, before they're able to get their license again, you know, have extensive CT scans, MRIs of the brain, to make sure that there's no significant trauma there that could harm them in their later years. And because, especially here in the Midwest, you know this, there's a ton of soft commissions where basically anybody can just go fight at any time. I mean, hell, what, Travis Bolton fought like 400 fucking times here in the Midwest.
Yikes.
I mean, what legitimate commission would allow someone? And there was one time he fought like four times in a week. So I wrote an article about this a few years ago. And it's just, I wish commissions would do a better job being proactive instead of reactive when it comes to fighting.
Yeah, and care a little bit less about the greenbacks and more about people's safety. I know we call them, I mean, we'll say fighter safety, but also, they are also people. You know?
They're people before they are fighters.
Yeah, let's care about that some before the greenbacks.
Absolutely, I'm 100% with you on that one, brother.
Yikes. What was it with Vitor and with Vanderlei? Well, and Vitor and Chael Sonnen, the Nevada Athletic Commission, they basically said, Vitor, oh, you have a fight coming up? Ah, we're not going to do anything. Oh, Chael, you're not going to make us any money anytime soon? Banned for fucking life.
Yeah, dude. I don't want to get speculate into the politics of what goes down in Nevada, but I mean, you know, there has to be something going on with as much stroke as the Fertittas have in Nevada overall. Not, you know, aside from the UFC and the money that brings into the economy in Nevada and into the Las Vegas, but they also own all the station casinos and everything like that. And so, yeah, you know that there's a lot of politicking going on there, but I'm not going to speculate as to what extent it goes to, but we all know, we've seen double standards. That's the phrase I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. They got their hand in that cookie jar.
Well, think about this. Brian Caraway got fined $20,000 for calling, Nate Diaz got fined $20,000 for calling Brian Caraway a fag. John Jones gets paid, gets fined $25,000 for testing positive for cocaine. For cocaine.
Metabolites, but yeah, the same thing.
Yeah, metabolites. Tell me there's not some double standard there.
Yeah, and which one of those two fighters makes more money? By a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That $20,000 means a hell of a lot more to Nate Diaz than that $25,000 means to John Jones.
Absolutely, it does. I don't want to talk too much about politics either, but, you know, maybe a percentage of their, like, last fight purse would make more sense than just a straight-up dollar amount.
Yeah, just as long... I wouldn't mind just as long as there's something consistent across the board.
Yeah, but it's really not. We've got 24 minutes left here today. Jason, let's talk about UFC 183, which I'm pretty fucking jazzed about, and maybe we can make picks against each other.
Hey, sounds good, brother. And by the way, thanks for letting me come on here and chit chat with you, man.
I was just about to say the same thing to you.
Yeah,
Really?
it's a lot of fun.
We could do this more often. I just had a I'm trying to do a podcast every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. This week it's MMA. Next week it's going to be rock and roll. So I just want to keep it consistent. You know, maybe I'll get some live viewers eventually.
Yeah, just tweet it out and I'll be sure to listen.
Or pop on too. This is pretty awesome. But UFC 183 starts off with Tiago Santos versus Andy Enns. Are you familiar with either of these cats?
Tiago Santos. Well, see, I actually haven't looked at any of the undercard fights because I've been so busy with the other project that we've been working on.
Which is TMCesports.com.
Yes, I wasn't gonna plug, dude.
You got to.
Yeah, I've been slaving away with that, and so I haven't paid too much attention outside the main card, which I made my predictions for the MMA corner. But I didn't get to give any reasoning behind them. I just got like, okay, yeah, these are the people I want to win, or who I'm picking to win, I should say.
All right, well, there's only like three, maybe four fights that don't have pretty large names on them. I know the main card is, of course, pretty stacked, but the whole thing from top to bottom, I mean, when we have Ian McCall versus John Lineker on the prelims, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's a fight right there that could have major title, title.
Implications.
Thank you.
If John Lineker beats Ian McCall, he should probably get a title shot, right?
Well, there's, I mean, if you look at it, there's really not that much left out there for Mighty Mouse. He's pretty much clean out the division.
Outside of facing John Dodson once every 3 months.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, I think John Dodson's the only person in the division that can beat him. And once he gets healthy again, that's the fight I want to see Mighty Mouse take. But if Lineker takes this fight, or Ian McCall takes this fight, either one of them could get another shot. But I mean, Mighty Mouse, he's just on a completely different level right now. You know what? I mean, I think this is going to be an awesome fight. I think this is a fight that Uncle Creepy should be able to take, just because of he's got more. I think he has a more well-rounded game. I think if he takes someone down to the ground, he can wrestle him for 15 minutes. And so, I like McCall.
I'm picking John Lineker to use them hand of stone to put McCall to sleep. Yeah, that's my pick. You know, just off the top, I don't even know the Vegas odds or anything, but that's what I want to happen.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, I mean, no matter what I pick, I just want to see exciting fights that don't go to the judges. That's just all I hope for.
And I think that John Lineker has the better chance of winning and it not going to the judges than Ian McCall does. Ian McCall probably point fight John Lineker, but if John Lineker wins, I think it'll be a stoppage.
Yeah, because Lineker, he is definitely the puncher. He averages twice as many punches per minute or landed per minute than McCall does. But McCall averages right around four times as many takedowns per fight.
Yikes. So yeah, John Lineker's going to have to use that Chuck Liddell wrestling defense and throw them heavy hands. Hands of Stone really fits him for a nickname.
Absolutely, it does.
And Uncle
And
Creepy's probably the best nickname in MMA.
if that were shown up the master, they rank right up there.
Who's that?
I cannot remember for the life of me, but there's someone that has that nickname. He was a Strike Force fighter, I remember that much.
Shown off the master, huh?
I'll look it up here really quick.
I'm gonna just throw some fights out there so that the Flying Squad, if they actually listen to this here podcast, will know who's fighting. First fight of the night, I'm sure it's happening on Fight Pass. The first two are Andy Enns versus Tiago Santos. Andy Enns, his first fight in the UFC was against, oh man, I'm blanking. He was on Tough 15, and he's gonna face Barnett next.
Clint Hester.
Clint Hester, yeah. Andy Enns' first fight was against Clint Hester, and they put Andy Enns in there as a tin can for Hester, and it did not work out that way. Hester did win, but Andy Enns looked pretty good in a losing effort. Next, we got Richardson Morjea versus Ildemar Alcantara. Morjea is 7-2, Alcantara is 20-7. Then we got Diego Brandão versus Jimmy Hettis. Brandão's 18-10. Wow, that's a pretty even record. And Hettis is 11-2. Here we go. I finally got the card pulled up on my here computer. Oh, we got three Fight Pass prelims. Brandão versus Hettis is on is the last one on the Fight Pass prelims. And then we've got Rafael Natal versus Thomas Kong Watson. First fight on Fox Sports 1 prelims, which start at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Are you in Central Time, too?
Yes, I am. I'm in Missouri, man.
I don't know with time zones.
Yeah, I'm Central as well.
Okay, so yeah, this fight right here, Rafael Natal versus Tom Watson, starts at 7 p.m. for us. And then we're back to the fight we're talking about. Ian McCall, Uncle Creepy versus John Lineker, Hands of Stone. It'll probably start at 7:30 Central Standard Time on Fox Sports 1. You're with McCall, picking decision?
Yes, I am.
And I'm with Lineker, picking TKO. Are you in the UFC Pick'em game with me and the rest of the Flying Squad?
No, I am not. How can I get on that?
I have to send you a link. It's really stupid. I don't understand why the Pick'em thing is this way. I don't know why you can't just go in, search for it, and join up. You have to actually follow a link that I would send you.
Yeah, just tweet one at me, and I'll definitely fill it out.
Awesome. You pick. You get 200 points for getting the fighter right. You get 50 points for picking the round right, and you get 75 points for picking the method. I'm pretty sure. No, I think that's how it goes. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Then we're going to Ed Herman versus Derek Selfie Brunson. Yeah, he's a self-proclaimed mirror model. Derek Brunson is.
Wow.
So I just threw that nickname at him. He probably won't like it. But yeah, Derek Selfie Brunson.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Who are you picking here?
I actually like Brunson in this one. Herman, I think he's on the starting the downside of his career. I haven't been real impressed with the last few times I've seen him. Yeah, and while I haven't been all that impressed by Brunson either, I think he has the advantage on the ground and the stand-up game. I think his game is more well-rounded than Herman's. And Brunson definitely has a power edge, and so I think that he should keep the fight standing, and he should be able to score TKO.
I agree with that. And I think that it's going to be a late fight TKO.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
I mean, past the midway point. So, maybe late second round, early third, but it's definitely not going to be in the first round.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
The fight for Brunson that sticks out in my mind a lot is he fought Yolo Romero and almost beat Yolo.
Yep.
Catch that I said Yolo.
Yeah, no shit.
And yeah, he shit his pants. Yoel shit his pants in that fight.
Yep, I definitely. Yeah, he has a lot of claims to fame in the UFC. Let me tell you.
Stoolgate and Stoolgate. Oh.
Zing.
Oh, look at me being punny.
Oh man, beautiful. I love it.
Now we'll move on to a women's bantamweight, which my girlfriend will really love to watch. Misha Cupcake Tate versus Sarah McMahon in the main event of the prelims. Who do you got?
I want to know how the fuck Misha Tate is still ranked number two in the division. That has boggled my mind. She's not performed well. She beat Renekati. She beat Liz Carmouche. Okay? Not exactly. I have a lot of respect for both of them, but they're not exactly at the top of elite level fighters. But I mean Sarah McMahon, of course, she's Olympic medalist in wrestling. She is an absolute monster, and I think that she's just going to get take her to the ground and just grind her out. I think it's going to be a decision, but yeah, I don't like Misha's odds in this fight at all.
In Misha's defense for her ranking, I bet it's because that she has went the furthest with Ronda Rousey.
She's because of her ass.
Well, I mean, who could blame you for that? It's pretty phenomenal. But also, she's the only woman to ever make it out of the first round with Ronda.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, that's something. Not much, but it's something.
Something to grasp onto, right?
And I think that Sarah McMahon lost, should have lost to Lauren Murphy.
Yeah, that was definitely a questionable decision. I will agree with you there. It was a close fight. I personally had Murphy winning that, but, you know.
She landed something like three times as many strikes as Sarah McMahon did.
Yeah.
And that's
goes back to the whole judging conundrum you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah McMahon was on top the whole time, but, I mean, getting punched while on top, yeah, it's a whole deal. Anyway, moving on to the main card here. The first fight of the main card, we've got number 13 in the welterweight division, Jordan Meehan, Young Gun versus Thiago Pitbull Alves.
Man, I like Jordan Meehan a lot. He has really impressed me so far in his UFC career. I mean, both of them have had decent. I mean, the only loss that Jordan Meehan's had in the UFC is against Matt Brown. And, I mean, he's beat Dan Miller. He's beat Mike Pyle, who we both know are just, you know, they're the gatekeepers of the division. Well, Matt Brown, I think, is higher up than a gatekeeper. But Mike Pyle, he's, you know, about as sturdy of a welterweight as you're ever going to run across. And Meehan got rid of him in the first round. And then Thiago Alves, he's had such a, I want to say, up and down staying in the UFC. I mean, he lost against Martin Kaufman. He came back, beat Seth Pazinski in his last fight back in April. And then before that, you know, he's just been like on a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. He hasn't been able to really string anything together in the UFC career. I just think that Meehan's hungrier for it than Alves is at this point in time, so I'm going to go with him. I don't know if he'll be able to get the finish, but I'm going to pick him in the fight. I'm not going to say how because I'm really not sure, but going to go with Meehan.
I'm also picking Meehan, and I don't know how it will finish. Maybe decision, maybe finish, but it's going to be with superior and more dynamic striking.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there.
It's pretty tight odds. Meehan's minus 135 to Alves plus 115.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on that fight at all. Way too close.
Moving on, we've got Talis Latis versus Tim the Barbarian Bosch. Is it Tim Lachey or Latis? Or Talis Latis?
Talis Latis.
Is it? I've heard it pronounced Lachey.
Ah, man. Well, those Brazilian names, you never know.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
It is. But, I mean, Latis... Lachey, however you want to pronounce it. I mean, he's on a 4-fight winning streak.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's kind of been flying under the radar, I think, in the division, where Tim Bosch, you know, of course he has that highlight comeback from behind victory over Yushin Okami, but since then, he really hasn't done all that much. He had the win against Okami, then he welcomed Lombard in the UFC, beat him. But then he lost to Philippou, lost to Munoz, he's lost to Rockhold, he beat Brad Tavares, who we all, you know, kind of, I think that he's a little overrated. I think his most quality win since Yushin Okami was his split decision over C.B. Dalloway, which was kind of controversial in its own right.
Splits usually are.
Yeah. And so, but I like Talis Latis, man. I mean, He's like I said, he's on a good streak. He's defeated some solid fighters. Tim Bosch, I think he hasn't beat anybody of real consequence in some time, and he really hasn't looked all that great. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Latis.
Yeah, me too. He's an enormous favorite at minus 465.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's pretty damn large.
Wow, I had no idea.
Oh, minus 450. I was lying. Minus 450.
Still, that's a huge line.
Pretty enormous. We've got like 9 minutes left. We've already went over the main event pretty much. So let's go Lozon versus Iaquinta. Iaquinta's minus 190. Iaquinta's actually the favorite over Joe Lozon.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I like Iaquinta a lot. He's really impressed me. I think he gets this win over Lozon.
I love Iaquinta. I like his New York accent. I hardly ever pick against Team Sarah Longo. But Joe Lozon, man, he's got the record for most bonus money. And he's in his last fight against Michael Chiesa, although it ended controversially with that cut on Chiesa, Lozon was whooping Chiesa's ass. And I am taking Joe Lozon.
Oh, I forgot to tell you how Iaquinta's going to win. He's going to punch a hole through his fucking chest.
Yeah, there you go. I love that accent, man. It's I couldn't do it if I tried, not even on a good day. Neither of these guys have accents, but one of them was one time committed to Nebraska for wrestling and then decommitted and went to Missouri. Tyron Woodley.
Wood.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Versus Kelvin Gastelum. And Gastelum is the favorite.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I got Gastelum in this fight. As much as I love, you know, I like Tyron Woodley, you know, representing the Lou, Missouri. He lacks cardio, something horrible. If he doesn't get Gastelum out in that first round, he's not going to win the fight. I don't think he will. I think Gastelum, I mean, he's young, he's hungry, he's got incredible cardio, he has a great tool set, and I think this is going to be his coming out party against T-Wood.
You know, now that you mentioned that, up until right now, I was going to pick Tyron Woodley because he has the more power and he's you know, been at the top of the division for a while. Kelvin Gastelum just came out of fucking nowhere, skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Kelvin Gastelum's got Cain Velasquez type of cardio.
He does, and he's a beast, man. He is. I'm really impressed, and this is going to easily be the biggest test of his career. But I think that this is a good matchup for him.
Yeah, this is going to be a barn burner. Really is. Ooh, I mean, I still have time to change my pick before Saturday on UFC Pick'em and also on Counter Move. Got to play that fucking Counter Move, win some money. Right now, I'm going to pick Tyron Woodley. Yep, picking Tyron Woodley. It's risky.
I that, man. If I was going with my heart, I'd definitely go with T-Wood. But
Missouri. I'm still mad at him for picking Missouri over Nebraska for wrestling.
See, he could have, you know, been your claim to fame, but he chose Mizzou, man. He went with the Tigers, baby.
Son of a gun. Last minute, I'm going with Gastelum because of that fact. It's eating at me.
Man, he went to Missouri. Fuck him.
Yeah, damn it, that bastard. All right, like 5 minutes to go in the show. Main event of the evening. And it's been, they announced this fight probably fucking year and a half ago, it seems like. Anderson the Spider Silva versus I don't have a nickname, Nick Diaz.
Oh, man.
You're picking Diaz.
I am, man. I question how Silva's going to be able to come back after his knockout loss. And then in his second fight, like I stated, he got hurt badly multiple times that first round. And then especially coming off this layoff, I think if he's going to win, his best bet is to take Diaz to the down. He has to get Diaz down the ground to win. I think that's the only way, because Diaz, he just fires nonstop. Whether he's hitting you or missing you, he's just firing punches nonstop. And as much as Anderson dances, some of those punches are still going to get through at the rate that Diaz throws.
Yeah, it's crazy that Diaz does, like, what, triathlons in his free time?
Yeah, he gets high and does triathlons. Dude is a freak, man, and he's got cardio for days, and we know that Anderson can go 5 hard rounds as well. But, like you said, Anderson's getting old, and he hasn't fought in a long time, and, you know, Nick Diaz, he's, you know, look at what he did to Ken Shamrock. I mean, I'm sorry, Frank Shamrock, over at Strikeforce. And Frank, you know, he was riding high up until that point, and the output that Diaz was able to put out on Frank was just way too much for him to handle, and he ended up fucking him.
I tried watching that fight a little bit the other day at work, and yeah, exactly like you said. If you really believe Diaz is going to win, you really need to put money on him. He's plus 350 right now.
Well, I'll have to find some way I can put some money on him.
sportsbook.ag.
I will head there. I'm going to type that in my browser right now.
I think that you can go to. I've never done it because I'm a poor college kid. I'm in college and I don't have very much money. My girlfriend kind of pays for my food. So if I were to, yeah, it's true. It sucks, but it's true. If I were to put money on this, I'd feel real bad about it. So I've never actually gambled, but some of my friends use sportsbook.ag. If not, you could always, he's going to be a really big underdog on Countermove. You throw him on your Countermove team.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Countermove?
I have not, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try that in DraftKings, and I'm also going to check out the sportsbook. You know, and I absolutely hate to pick against Anderson Silva, but I do think that he ranks right up there with the greatest fighters of that have competed in MMA so far. He's one of the top three, if not the best. And I would love to see him win so he could walk away on a high note. But, damn, he has a lot of things going against him.
Yes, he does. He's my favorite fighter of all time, and the reason for that is Forrest Griffin was my favorite fighter until those two fought each other, and I figured if Anderson Silva can make my favorite fighter look like a third grader, he has to be my new favorite fighter.
Quick, can I tell you a really quick story about that fight?
Yep.
Did you hear a reporter asked Forrest Griffin why he ran out of the cage so quick and back to the locker room? And okay. Forrest Griffin replied, because I heard your mom was backstage and she gives really good head and I did not want to miss out before she left. I wanted to go get some of that head.
He said that?
I swear, yep. That's not the verbatim, but it was something very, very similar to that.
Paraphrasing, I do it all the time.
Yep.
I also heard that he was on he had done Xanax right before the fight or something, like the night before.
See, I don't know anything about that. All I know is the one quote, and I heard that and laughed my ass off.
All right, we've got 1 minute and 43 seconds left in the live broadcast, and that'll shut me off, and it'll cut my MP3 off so I can upload it to the internet. Plug your stuff.
Hey, man, check out MMAcorner.com, TMCEsports.com. We appreciate all the support you get. Brian, I appreciate everything you do, man. You're great. You're awesome. Follow him on Twitter, at FlyinMMA. And yep. Follow me. I can't tell you, you won't even know I spell the last name, so it doesn't matter.
I will link your Twitter name in the description of this podcast. You're also going to help me push this podcast so people will know who you are, for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me, Jason, this evening. Again, this podcast was brought to you live and free, and it's also recorded and free by Unique Kennels, the official bulldog of MMA. Look him up on Twitter, at UniqueKennels71, and also on Instagram, instagram.com/UniqueKennels. Namaste.